context is wisdom. And as we saw this morning, Paul is making a contrast between the wisdom of the world, this age, the wisdom of men, which he tells us is coming to nothing, the wisdom of men, which cannot lead to God, the wisdom of men, which cannot solve the fundamental problems of human beings, and the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God has been revealed to us through the cross on which the Son of God has died. The wisdom of God is revealed in the act of preaching. Preaching, which is a very foolish activity. It's not with persuasive words of human wisdom. Preaching is not a revelation of a man's knowledge or skill or experience. In fact, preaching is weak and foolish, but it's the wisdom of God. Because if preaching is ever effective, then it's only down to God. And what Paul is very concerned about is that his audience should have faith, not in a man. They should have faith, not in some theory or some idea. Paul is concerned that his audience has genuine faith in God, that they should rest their trust and their hope in the living God who sent his Son, Jesus Christ, for the saving of the world. So here's the contrast. The wisdom of the world, which is foolishness in the sight of God, the wisdom of the world, which is perishing and fading away, and then the wisdom of God, this wisdom that we glory in and rejoice in when we hear the message of the cross. So as Paul makes this contrast then, in terms of wisdom, we come to the verses of our text. Chapter 2, verses 7 to 9. Now we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. So these verses are our text then for this evening. Let's ask God to help us as we turn to his word. Lord our God, there is this contrast then between the wisdom of this world and your wisdom. And our God, as this new week opens up, we'll hear so much about the wisdom of this world. We'll hear it from politicians. We'll hear it, our God, from celebrities. We'll hear it on the radio and on the TV, in debates and opinions and news programs, the wisdom of this world, what men and women think life is about. But Lord, what we've seen is that the wisdom of this world cannot address the fundamental problem, which is that men and women are separated from you, dead in sins. Lord, in your wisdom, you have resolved this great problem through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to hear more then about your wisdom. And we ask our God that you would bless us as we turn our attention to the Bible again. We are not here to listen to some man with his persuasive words. Lord, we are not to be different to the Apostle Paul, who said that he was with that church in Corinth in fear and trembling. And when he got there, he was determined not to use any of his tricks, not to use anything that he'd been taught in order to persuade people. But instead, our God, very simply, he trusted in you and delivered the message that you had given him. Lord, we do the same. We trust in you and we deliver the message that you have given to us. And we ask your blessing upon us as we do so. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start then with this idea of a mystery. So if you look at verse 7, Paul says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. And the basic meaning of the word mystery is secret. And what Paul is saying to us is that God in his wisdom keeps secrets. And God has been keeping secrets since before the creation of the world. If you look at verse 7, that's what Paul tells us. He says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages. So God has kept secrets from before the beginnings of creation. And these secrets God would share with his prophets. So during the course of human history, ever so often God would share a secret with Adam or Abraham or David or Moses, and they in turn would share that secret with men and women. And what Paul is telling us is that God has shared with him a number of secrets. In fact, Paul is the last human being with whom God has shared his secrets. And I want you to see that God shared with Paul a number of secrets, and we find them in the New Testament. So if you've got your Bibles open, just for a minute or two, let's roam around the New Testament. And let's find some of the secrets that God shared with the Apostle Paul. So stay in this letter then, stay in 1 Corinthians, and go as far as chapter 15. And in chapter 15, we have Paul telling us one of the great secrets that God had shared with him. And I'm sure most of you know this secret. Verse 51, behold, I tell you a mystery. So behold, says Paul, I'm telling you a secret. And what's the secret? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. So here's Paul sharing the secret that death is not the end of human experience. That after death, there is the resurrection of the dead. And as part of this secret, Paul tells us that at the time when the resurrection will take place, some people won't experience death at all. There will be a trumpet sound. We shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We shall all be made like Christ in his glory. That's a secret that Paul shares with the church at Corinth. Can I show you two more secrets? Keep going in the New Testament and go as far as Ephesians. Because in Ephesians, Paul shares two more secrets with the church. Now, these secrets had been revealed to Paul by God through Jesus Christ. So after Paul became a Christian, do you remember, Paul was initially a persecutor of the church. He initially set out to destroy the church. He was a man responsible for the arrest of many Christians. He tortured them, and he gave his consent for one of them, Stephen, to be killed. And then God spoke to Paul, revealed himself to Paul. Paul became a Christian, and God shared with him these secrets. Now, there's two of them in Ephesians. Turn to the first chapter, and you'll see a secret here in verses 9 and 10. Ephesians 1, 9 and 10. Paul writes, having made known to us the mystery of his will. The secret will of God. Verse 9. According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Now, it's a very simple secret. Paul puts it in this way, and it's a very profound way. Here's the secret. It's God's secret will that one day God will put everything right in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. God will put right the whole of human history. God will put right every wrong that has been committed. God would put right what is on earth, what is in heaven, what is under the earth. God will draw all things together and put everything right through his Son, Jesus Christ. There's the secret that he reveals in chapter 1. And if you're still with me, go across to chapter 5, and you'll see there another secret. Now, we've hinted at this secret in past weeks. You remember what we've been doing? We've been looking at our society. We've been trying to understand the way that society works these days. And we've chosen marriage, family, and individual human life as our focus. So we've seen now for weeks that today what it means to be a person, what it means to be married, and what it means to have a family is vastly different to what it once meant. The foundations laid by God in human society are being challenged today. Now, with that in mind, look at the mystery, the secret that Paul has in Ephesians and chapter 5. Right at the end of the chapter, you'll see these words in verse 32. He says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." So he's been talking about marriage. And he says, marriage is based on the relationship between Christ and the church. Christ and the church comes first. Marriage reflects Christ and the church. But, says Paul, in telling you this, in telling you what marriage means, I'm sharing with you one great secret. So do you see then how there are secrets throughout the New Testament, kept by God, secrets that have been in the heart of God from before creation itself. And God has shown them and revealed them and shared them. And here's the Apostle Paul sharing with us these final secrets that God is keeping. Can I show you one more? If your Bibles are open, turn across to Timothy. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 3, and let's see if I can find this final verse. And we have it in verse 16. 1 Timothy 3, we're going to sing it in the last hymn. The hymn is based on this final secret. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16. "Without doubt," says Paul, "great is the mystery of godliness." And this is the ultimate expression of the secret that God is keeping. The secret how God can make men and women who are sinners, how God can make us godly, right with God, and fit for heaven. So do you get the idea then that there are secrets? And I want us to look tonight at the last remaining secret in our Bibles. It's the last secret that God is keeping. So if I can put it like this, at the beginning, God had many secrets, and he shared them gradually over the centuries. The one who showed us most about God is Jesus Christ, his son. In fact, Jesus is the heart of God made flesh and blood. If you want to know who God is, what God is like, then you look at Jesus, and by looking at Jesus, you see the mystery of God. So Jesus is the greatest teller of the mysteries of God. And then you get Paul. Paul is the last one with whom God shares his secrets. I want you to turn to our text, and what you've got here in our text is the last secret that God is keeping. God isn't going to reveal this secret to anyone. So there's no way that any of us can know this final secret that God is keeping until the last moment. So let's turn again to our text, 1 Corinthians 2, 7 to 9. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God has ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, and here's a quote from Isaiah, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now, verse 9 is the secret itself. And all Paul can do is hint at the secret. Now, my own conviction is Paul knew it. God told him it. But God would not allow Paul to share it with us. So all Paul can do is hint. He can tell us. He can suggest a little bit. But the secret itself is one that Paul was sworn to keep. So verse 9 is the secret. Verse 7 is telling us that God has had this secret from the very beginning. And it's a secret for the Christian. And it's a secret for every Christian. And it's a secret that is concerned with our glory. It's a secret about the future that God has for every Christian. Verse 8 tells us that this secret is hidden from the world. So think now, what we said this morning, think of the philosophers and the politicians and the commentators and the writers and the intellectuals. All of them are ignorant of the secret that God is keeping. The wise and the powerful and the wealthy and the rich, all of them have no idea of the secret that God is keeping. In fact, says Paul, their ignorance is so deep and the darkness in the mind of men and women is so profound that they killed Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For all the words and all the power and all the knowledge in our world, the ignorance is as deep as it possibly can be. If, like me, you love to listen to debates and you love to read articles about politics and society, then you'll be hearing people's views all the time. What does this person think? What does she say? What's his view? And if you're like me and you want to find out and you spend time listening to what people say, the most important thing to remember is the ignorance in the human heart is so profound. The depths of darkness in the hearts of men and women is as dark as it's possible to be. Because had they known, they would not have killed the Lord of glory. So do you see what Paul is doing? And all I want to do is point it out to you. Paul uses the cross as the measure of everything. The cross is the test of every opinion, every view, every action, every person. So Paul brings the cross on which Jesus Christ died, and he sets it in front of every person, and it's the test by which every person will be measured. And if a person looks at the cross and says, "What utter foolishness," then that person is perishing, dead, without hope. Christ on the cross is put before men and women, and Paul says, your ignorance is such that you crucified him. So the cross is the measure by which the rulers and the leaders of every generation are measured. The cross is put before you and me. And if we can say of the cross, it's the wisdom of God. It's the power of God. It's the love of God. Then we are those whom God has called and those whom God saves. The cross is the measure of everything. And it's the standard by which everyone, wise or foolish, rich or poor, will be measured by God and judged against. That's the Apostle Paul's view here. So God keeps a secret. It's for us. It's for the glory of the Christian. And the world is as ignorant of this secret as they were of the identity of Jesus Christ. So let's come to the secret itself, and it's in verse 9. And three things are hinted at about this secret. So God is preparing a future for the Christian. God is preparing a future for the church of Jesus Christ. And let's see the three things that Paul tells us in verse 9. First of all, he says, eye has not seen, no ear heard. What does he mean? He is saying that there is nothing in the whole of human experience that can tell you what God is preparing for the Christian. We can look down all the centuries. We can look into every empire and every nation. We can see all the glory of human civilization. And there is nothing anywhere where we can look that will tell us what this future that God is preparing for those who love him. This future is beyond human experience as we currently know it. So no eye has ever seen. No ear has ever been told. We have no descriptions. We have no accounts. We have no records. We have no articles, there are no reports, there are no books that will tell you what the glory that is in the future God is preparing. It is beyond human experience. It is greater, it is better, it is bigger, it is beyond anything that any human being has ever known. That's the first thing he tells us about this future. And then look at the second. Nor has it entered into the heart of man. Now, what Paul is doing now, he's moving from human experience and he's going to the realm of human imagination. Think of authors. Men and women who've created worlds in their books. And some of you, I know, love to read great works of fiction and fantasy. And you'll read authors who've created characters and worlds and languages and histories. And they've made a whole universe out of their imagination. And some of us love to read these books, and we would imagine ourselves living in these fantastic worlds that have been created by the imagination of a human heart. Now, what Paul is saying is this: no author, no literary genius can imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. This glory that God is preparing, this future that God has. Last Sunday we said, didn't we, that to be a Christian is to have a fixed future when we shall be made like Christ. Now, this future is beyond anyone's imagination. Your wildest dreams do not come close to what God has prepared for those who love him. This is Paul describing this final secret that God is keeping, the future that he has in store. So it's beyond human experience, so no human yet. Let's put a word of caution there. There is one who has gone to this future that God has prepared. No human imagination is great enough to get an idea of this future. And then look at the final things that we have here in verse 9. He says, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And the idea here is things. Heaven, glory, it's not one thing, it's many things. We don't think of it as a single thing, but it's a whole world of things. But we can't use the word world because that's in our experience. So what these things are is beyond worlds. It's beyond time. It's beyond any sense or feeling or thought that we could ever have. This is the future secret that God is keeping. And God has prepared it. So there's no thought of, will God do it? Or can God do it? Or what if he fails to do it? The quote here is, God has prepared this. It's an inheritance waiting and reserved for us in heaven itself. And what Paul says is this final secret will one day be revealed to us. And we will all be told and share in this final revelation of God's secrets. It's a future moment. And in that future moment, you will not only be shown this great secret, it'll be for you. You will be part of it. You will be present in it. And you will be forever living in this final preparation that God has in store. That's this secret then. And what Paul goes on to do in chapter 2 from verse 10 down is he says to us, now look, God's hinted at it and we've got little sort of glimpses of this future. And God has given us little tentative peaks, sneaky little peaks of the future we have in store. The Holy Spirit gives us these glimpses of this future, says Paul in verse 10 and 11. And then he goes on to say that Christ himself has shown us and given us a view of this great secret. None of us have told God, none of us have asked God, none of us have instructed God. God himself has prepared this future and he gives it freely to everyone who believes in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's Jesus Christ who is the only one, I think, who knows this future. He is there now. He returned to it after his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. He returned to heaven. And Jesus Christ, the man like us, raised from the dead in the glories of heaven, is the man who's going to bring that future into being. It's the man, Jesus Christ, who will reveal that future and will open that future to everyone who has called and believed and trusted and followed him through all the course of their life. It is Jesus Christ who will ultimately reveal to his people, to the church, and to the world, this great glory that God has prepared for those who love him. So this is you and I. If we're Christians, this is our future. There's one secret left, and God is holding it tight. He's holding it close to his heart. But this future is certain. It is guaranteed. It is your future. It is beyond experience. It is beyond imagination. It is found in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. And it is a future for all who call on the name of the Lord. Well, let's sing our hymn, shall we?